This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Kate Delaney broadcasting from San Diego. Boy, the troubles continue with the coronavirus, as now there's another 115 deaths added on top of those already who have passed from the coronavirus. We'll talk about that. Plus, Roger Stone sentenced to not 9 years or 7 years in prison, but 40 months in prison. And of course, that could change because the power of the pardon is in the hands of the president. And then we look at some other things that are happening affecting all of us in the United States. As I say, this show is about you, and that tall guy in the back. And it's winter weather, baby, big time. 12 million in the southeast bracing for this winter storm, forecasting to bring 6 inches of snow. I was just looking at a weather map, Charlotte and Raleigh. Nothing like the weather in San Diego, which was 78 degrees. Yeah, so they're all under winter alerts, and it's not looking good because, again, more on the 3 to 6 side. I looked at one of the bigger weather maps, and what they're saying is, of course, if you get, depending on where it is, and of course the how treacherous the highways are, be careful in large parts of North Carolina, Southern Virginia, where they're talking about maybe 6 inches, because that's when it gets dangerous. And they've already closed schools, Durham Public Schools, that district there, 32,000 students. And even the North Carolina governor, who's always on top of this kind of thing, I got to give Cooper credit, so Roy Cooper declares a state of emergency, and everybody's out prepared, meaning the trucks, etc., because of what possibly they could be contending with the portions of North Carolina that could get really, really dumped on. And you look at I-95, as somebody who grew up not too far from I-95, it goes all the way up the eastern seaboard. That can be one of the worst roads to be on. Sometime we'll rank roads, because I know you all have thoughts on that, but I-95 can be absolutely awful. And in fact, even in some areas in New York City, they're talking about 4.7 inches possibly of snow. And then we jump to, again, Roger Stone being the big story here, and the fact that he got 40 months in prison. And was, remember, initially, weeks ago, the prediction was, until you had the four prosecutors that quit, that it could be 7 to 9 years. So here's what the deal is. This was an extraordinary move by Attorney General William Barr to back off the Justice Department's original sentencing. And U.S. District Court Judge Amy Berman Jackson said Stone's crimes demanded a significant amount of time behind bars, but she said 7 to 9 years originally recommended by the Justice Department was excessive. I gotta say, I gotta agree with that. 9 years, and you compare it to some of the other things, if you weight what other people have done, I would say that was excessive. 9 was too much, so then it goes in the opposite direction. Stone's lawyers asked for a sentence of probation, so they didn't get that. They were talking about the fact that he was 67 and his health and the lack of criminal history. So then when the sentence came down, the president defended his longtime confidant, and now there's been kind of this discussion, and not kind of, there's been this discussion as to whether or not there could be a presidential pardon. And if you remember, the president has not said whether he would pardon Roger Stone or not, but hinted that it certainly is a possibility, and he does have those powers to pardon. So I don't think that would be shocking if we eventually saw that. Hey, speaking of the president, you know I am the poll princess, and we keep track here religiously on the show of what's happening as far as the president's approval ratings. And the approval ratings are pretty steady at 49% at this point. Gallup is speculating that the approval rating may be high because of the Senate acquitting him in the impeachment trial, but that's been a couple weeks getting a bounce from that. And then the State of the Union and, of course, the economy. It's always about where we are economically. And this will be, it is always tracked. It's tracked weekly. There are rolling polls. And in a year where there is a presidential election, it becomes even bigger for whoever occupies 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, just like it does for the Democratic strategists as they're looking for ways to take advantage of situations and figure out ultimately what they're, you know, where they're going to go and what direction they're going to go in. Okay, so here's the deal. The ground zero of the virus added, I already mentioned this number, 115 deaths, if you can believe it. The World Health Organization says a drug trial, the results are 3 weeks away because they are scurrying to make something happen. So check out this number. This is a scary and very sad number, in my opinion. China's death toll is 2,233. So those numbers were in line with those that were reported last week when China revised, because they keep revising their counting guidelines, if you notice that. And that raises all these doubts, which I'll raise my hand. Hello, transparency. Think of China. So anxiety, though, is the fallout. It's creeping into the financial markets. You can see it. It's the factors are weighing heavy on people who deal with China, people who deal in with Asia, and the worries over the coronavirus. In fact, at a conference where I am in San Diego, that was part of the conversation, that what was being stopped, planes that were being stopped coming into San Diego, and in fact that some people had been quarantined in San Diego, and what did that all mean? And then we have our own response here in the United States. The problems with the coronavirus test developed by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention delayed the efforts to expand screening to state and local, you know, public health labs, because this is something that was going to happen. And you look at the cruise ship passengers, and with this coronavirus, you had two Japanese cruise ship passengers who died from the coronavirus, which, imagine, there were Americans on that ship, some infected, how that makes them feel. That ship, the Diamond Princess, they were infected and they died, according to the Japanese health minister, becoming the first fatalities from that boat. So Japan now has three deaths linked to the coronavirus. The two victims, a man and woman in their 80s, are both Japanese, believed to have been infected before the health checks and a February 5th quarantine. So that would be, that's the sad news, but the good news for the people who were trapped on this floating barge, because they were quarantined there, like I said, Americans and others, but this was before all that happened. The Diamond Princess, of course, I talked about it on the show, docked in Yokohama, that port near Tokyo, and they started letting passengers go, get off the boat when they tested negative for the virus, and they lifted that 14-day quarantine. So you had hundreds of passengers on Thursday who also got to leave and when they went through the process. And then there's tests that are still pending for some of the people that are on board. So imagine how frightening that would be. I mean, I really can't, because you have to abide by what they're saying, because can you blame Japan? They can't just let everybody off the ship. Then they have to go through the testing, and this coronavirus has gotten much bigger, I think, than was initially anticipated, or at least the lid that China, not shockingly, was trying to keep on all of this. All right, hang with us. Coming up on the flip side, here in San Diego, like I mentioned, I did step into the mailroom, so we've got the mailbag coming up next.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin? And as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas. Riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet? Scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success? And why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Welcome back. We dive into the mailbag, and I just got to tell you, I got to mention, because I've got a couple of emails from all of you asking me about what was going on in San Diego, and no, I'm not moving to San Diego. I was here for a conference and to check out some of the innovative things that are happening in San Diego that I'm going to bring to you on the show. So I was actually doing some interviews, and I have to say, you forget about the beauty of San Diego until you've been here a couple of days, and it is spectacular. The fog in the morning, I mean, just absolutely amazing. Of course, I did not catch the coronavirus, excuse that, but there is some crud going around, and maybe it's with the switch of the weather. So we go to Scott's question, and Scott says, Kate, what do you think about this whole coronavirus and some of the conspiracy theories that abound about what's happened and what's going on in the scientific community? Well, I think what you're referring to is there's been about 24 public health scientists that have signed a letter that they released pushing back against the rumors and misinformation surrounding the origins of the coronavirus. And that's what they're trying to trace. Scientists didn't single out one theory. One of the most popular claims that a high security lab, excuse me, near where the outbreak began could be a source for the virus. Senator Tom Cotton referred to the theory during an interview on Fox, saying that the lab was a few miles away from the seafood market where some of the earliest cases were found. And it's really the seafood market that this is suspected of where this all started, but it's still not nailed down. And this is, of course, one of the big problems when any kind of a virus like this arises. All right, so thank you for that. Let's move on to another one. This one is from Graham. Kate, do you think the president will ultimately pardon Roger Stone? I do. I think he will pardon him because Roger's always been in his corner. He has the power of the pardon. I think he thought he should have gotten probation. He did get much less than was originally being played around with, and he has hinted that he retains the power of a presidential pardon, and he's preferring him to be exonerated by the Justice system, and that didn't happen. So he's not pulling any punches about it. I think he will. But how long, when that takes place, I can't answer that question. If I had that kind of a crystal ball, boy, everybody would be hiring me, wouldn't they? But I wouldn't be surprised. In fact, if you asked me, you know, just an educated guess, I'm going to say yes, because he's his buddy. He's been stood by him, and he doesn't feel it's fair when he weighs out what other people have been convicted of. And I don't see that changing. In fact, even if you looked at, because we know the president, as much as it infuriates or frustrates people around him, likes to tweet his responses to things, and, you know, the commander-in-chief, that's exactly the whole thing. Trump on Tuesday said he hadn't thought about pardoning Stone or his former campaign chairman Paul Manafort and former national security advisor Michael Flynn, but he did repeat his stance that Stone has been treated unfairly. So I would say that he certainly could wield that power. I mean, let's put it that way. It wouldn't be a complete shock to me, I guess. You know, how's that? All right, let's move on to something else. And this one is from Sam I Am. Hi, Sam I Am. He listens to us in Tucson, Arizona. And he says, Kate, where have you been? I miss you in the studio. I'm jealous you're in San Diego. When are you coming to Arizona? So my question to you is, I know you're also a sports person, and you go in the man cave and take us with you. What did you what do you think of some of the moves that are happening in before spring training when it comes to deals? Well, you know, I saw a big story today that was interesting about Bryce Harper. To me, that's what's still a high watermark, right? So the Phillies are now in their second year with Bryce Harper, and there's a big story about it today in the USA Today. They're at Clearwater, Florida, and a year ago he was still in Vegas contemplating what he was going to do, yada yada. And he's 13 years, $330 million. Will that actually pay off? And I think that one of the things that happens in baseball is when you get a pitcher, I mean, pitchers get the premium star money, that you're looking for those dividends right away. And for Bryce Harper, I mean, how crazy. He spends all those years with the Nationals. Then he goes to the Phillies, and the Nationals end up winning the World Series. But that's the way the ball bounces, right? So when we talk about contracts and we talk about Major League Baseball, they're at a premium. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that you see. And now it's about arbitration, who's winning some of those. Who's winning some of their cases, and, you know, who isn't, and who's holding grudges against teams that dump them, and all that kind of, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, we're in the very beginning of this, and there's more than who's going to go where, and there is some conversation about that. I think the bigger conversation is about still the Astros and sign stealing, and what are other teams doing, and is that happening, and, you know, addressing discipline and the Astros scandal, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'll tell you what, a guy who was a former guest on this show, and he was hilarious, and I was so thrilled to get him on, David Ross. I won't beleaguer this and go down too much of a rabbit hole, but he's now the manager of the Cubs, and it's fun to watch that. It's fun. I've been reading some things about what he's doing, and he's putting Chris Bryant in a leadoff role. So maneuvers, minutia, all that stuff is coming out of spring training. I don't think I answered your question. I'm not sure, but we move on to another one. This one is from Clark, and Clark says, Kate, did you happen to see, because I know you pay attention to everything that's going on, did you happen to see the story about the Tennessee guy that got the electric chair for killing an inmate? Wasn't that shocking? You know what? I was talking to someone from Newsmax the other day, and I happened to look at it, and I saw that story. You're right. And he was put to death in the electric chair, like you say, on Thursday. Fifth prisoner over 16 months to choose electrocution over the state's preferred method, really, of lethal injection. 58 years old. Boom, that was it. He was sentenced to death in 1986. It shows you how long it takes for killing a fellow inmate, Carl Estep. They had a conflict over a drug deal. They were both in prison, in an East Tennessee prison. And Sutton was serving time for killing his grandmother and two others when he was 18 years old. Wow. So all that time, kills those people, family. Then kills an inmate, and then finally that's it. And there were people that were lobbying and asking the governor, Bill Lee, in Tennessee to commute a sentence, saying he had rehabbed himself in prison and wasn't the same guy who came in, you know, 40 years ago. But pretty tough for the governor to flip on that, and so he didn't do it. He didn't commute his sentence. But thanks for bringing that up. It's funny, we've talked about the death penalty. I've had people on all sides of this come on the show. And it's something interesting to re-examine. And they did the electric chair because they were having problems with the lethal injection, by the way. All right, let's move on to another one. This one is from Ray. And Ray says, "Hey, Kate, I listen to you all the time in Spokane. That's where I live, and I like the fact that you throw in a lot of variety. That is the spice of life, and we don't have to hear the same bloody thing day in and day out over and over and over and over and over again. So thanks for that. It's not a suck-up move. It's just the truth, because I've been listening to you. And so I'm wondering what you think of what's going to happen with the Democrats. I thought the debate was pretty boring, and I'm an independent, to tell you the truth. I've voted for Republicans in the past, I've voted for Democrats in the past, but I just can't see Elizabeth Warren as the president of the United States. And did you see what she said about her wealth tax? Yeah, you're talking about, she said her wealth tax would put $800 billion into schools. And so, of course, when you start to spat out numbers and you're in the middle of the fight for the race to the presidency on the Democratic side, like last time around, if it was Republicans or Democrats or whatever, then you do the fact-checking and, ooh, would that really happen? Because then the plans get more grandiose and people start talking about health care and schools and, you know, I guess you're getting at all of that. But Elizabeth Warren is talking to Nevada voters 2 days before those state caucuses. So these are all important. And, you know, she's saying that this $800 billion would be a wonderful thing because she could attract new teachers, she could really kind of change the game, and it would be tuition, it would be dealing with tuition and you know, and all of that. So those are all the questions, of course, like I said, that come up anytime you're in a debate. I only saw snippets of that debate here in San Diego, to be honest, trying to fight off a virus or whatever kind of crazy bug the people in San Diego have given me. So I conked out during the debate. Did see, like I said, snippets of it. Absolutely. All right, hang with us. Much more coming your way. I'll meet you on the flip side. Kate Delaney coming at you from San Diego.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
There's major concern over the coronavirus outside China. their sharp increases in the number of cases in South Korea, Iran, and Italy. Sabina Castelfranco reports.
Italy has the highest number of coronavirus cases in Europe. With an emergency decree, the Italian government has adopted special powers to deal with the situation. In the region of Lombardy alone, schools and universities have been closed. Public gatherings, masses and soccer games have also been suspended. And in Venice, authorities are cancelling carnival events.
There's more than 600 cases in South Korea. 6 deaths and 43 cases in Iran. Across the world, the virus has killed over 2,400 people and 78,000 cases, according to the World Health Organization. This is USA Radio News.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, for the 8th Annual Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, May 29th to June 1st. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure filled with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, leading-edge science, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend offers lectures and workshops, exciting panels, and a luncheon that I'm hosting. Contact in the Desert also features leading experts including Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, Stephen Greer, Emery Smith, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and many important researchers and scientists from all over the world. With the breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, Contact in the Desert is your place for inside information. Join us at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. It's time to make contact. That's contactinthedesert.com. Contactinthedesert.com.
Live in San Diego, Kate Delaney. Welcome to the show. If you've never heard it before, thanks so much for tuning in. Don't go away. We've got Manshor with me because, yeah, the Hubs, Paul, came on the trip to San Diego. He used to live in San Diego. He served in the military. We thank him for that. He was on a ship. In fact, I'm going to ask him to talk about that a little bit. So it's been how long, Paul, since you've been back to San Diego, and how much has it changed a little bit you've seen?
I've been back to California since my time in the military, but I haven't been back to San Diego in 21 years, and it's still here. And they gave me a little bit of a coronavirus bug. Just kidding. I got a cold, so I have a nice deep baritone now. But it's nice as ever.
And when you say it's nice as ever, we had a chance for anyone out there listening. I would put this on your bucket list if you do come to San Diego. We're in La Jolla, so we had a chance to see the seals at La Jolla. And I guess because I've been here many, many times, I don't remember the seals, and I don't remember the baby seals, the pups. And they are all over this cool area on the beach, and you can see the people taking videos and selfies and that kind of stuff. And both he and I really, really liked that and walked along that whole La Jolla Cove area. So talk a little bit about that and what it was like seeing the seals, because I think, I mean, I'm not trying to sell San Diego anyone, but I know there's people listening that are in California. We have our listeners at KCAA in that Inland Empire area, and it would be a couple hours for them to come down, but even other people in the West Coast, and a lot of people do want to come to San Diego, and I would put that, I really would, I would put that on the list. What do you think?
Well, apparently, I didn't know this either. I'd never, when I was here 21 plus years ago, I didn't know that the seals came this far south, so it was a cool surprise when we just went down to La Jolla Cove just to walk the cliffs and see the sea caves that they were, all these harbor seals were pupping, because it's, and you're only allowed to get within so close to them because of the, because the mothers will scurry away and abandon their babies if the people get too close. So, it was real exciting to go to the cove and see all the harbor seals and the mothers pupping the babies.
So I mentioned that you lived in San Diego. I lived in Santa Barbara, Santa Maria, Pismo Beach. But when I was in California, so that's the Central Coast, really, you lived in San Diego. And tell us what ship you were on and what that was like. Because did you launch from here, or did you, for people listening in the military, or did you launch from the East Coast from Norfolk?
I was on what's called a pre-commissioning unit in Norfolk. And at the time, it was Newport News, because the ship wasn't even finished being constructed in 1995. So we were in the shipyards helping the shipyard workers finish build the ship. It was the USS John C. Stennis aircraft carrier, CVN-74. And then we moved to Norfolk after it was completed. We did the sea trials and took the ship out and turned it to extremes and sped it as fast as it would go to see what would break on it, and then anything that broke, we'd bring it back in and fix it until nothing else broke. That's how they do sea trials. And
that's how they do sea trials. And then you were at, one of the assignments of your ship was to go after Saddam Hussein, and when I process that in my mind, I'm thinking, when was that, and what was that experience like?
No, it was 1998 when Saddam Hussein kicked out the United Nations weapons inspectors from Iraq, and so they called us over to the Gulf, and so we were there with several other aircraft carriers, and we relieved one or two of those. We were there for 4 or 5 months, and then we continued on a world cruise. Everything else had been canceled, so we could get to the Middle East that we were supposed to go to Israel and Spain and France and all these great places. But we spent our time in the Middle East, and then we finally made it to San Diego, Hawaii, and then San Diego, and that's where we were home ported in San Diego.
Yeah, so, wow, I thought that was so interesting. I loved hearing those stories. And you can hear us both coughing maybe in the background, so I apologize for that. But, again, not the coronavirus, thank goodness, but we caught something, and everybody around me has this weird crud going on too as well, so it's awful. So I know a lot of you across the United States listening to the show can relate to that, because weather has changed where you are, or somebody had a virus, or you know, whatever happened. Before we set sail, so to speak, for San Diego, we talk about this a lot, that it's not even a new phenomenon, but less people are going to the movies, and of course it depends, unless there's some incredible movie that's out, and more people are binge watching. And we binge watched something that was pretty interesting, because we both like history, and it was all about the Roman Empire. When I say we binge-watched on the weekend, we watched a whole bunch of them in a row. And it was so fascinating to see, you know, see about the gladiators and link the different Marcus Aurelius together and the different empires together. Would you say that's worth somebody watching that?
Oh, absolutely. Even if you're not into history, that's what's interesting. It makes it exciting for someone who couldn't read a dull history book, or that might seem dull to someone reading a big dusty old book. So it really brings it to life, and it's really cool. It's called Roman Empire.
Who was your favorite empire? What was your favorite empire?
My favorite empire or emperor?
Emperor.
My favorite emperor would be, of course, it would have to be Marcus Aurelius, because he was, of course, his meditations live on today in a book, and you can buy it, and he's very wise. But he did make some mistakes with promoting his son to emperor. Julius Caesar was certainly the most exciting season, but it seems like there was a theme. A lot of them all start out to do good, and they end up being corrupted by the ultimate power.
Yes, my favorite one would be Julius Caesar. I like Julius Caesar because he was such a warrior, and I didn't realize that. What I had read about him, I didn't realize that that was part of his MO. I mean, I knew he fought, but I didn't realize the depths of that. So that's something that you can watch. I want to say is it the History Channel or Netflix? It's Netflix. So if you want to, if you're into Netflix, you have Netflix, check out the Roman Empire. You might like it, because then they have historians talking about it. Or you might be bored to tears and you could care less, and you can want to go watch an old Lethal Weapon, or you want to catch one of the Star Wars episodes or whatever it is. But when we do the cheap movie reviews, which we're not going to do it this time around, there's not any great movies out, that would be my review for now. I'll throw in some of the binging stuff. So sometimes with Eric, and because I'm not in the studio, I do a segment, Manshore, called This or That. And I thought it'd be fun if we just played kind of a lightning round for everybody listening. I think they can relate to it. As a man, if you have a choice between doing the laundry or cooking and doing the dishes, this or that, which do you choose?
If I got the barbecue grill fired up, I'll do the cooking. If the BBQ is too cold outside, I'll do some laundry.
All right, so you choose the laundry. Personally, for me, I would rather, and this is really I would rather cook and clean any time of the day compared to doing the laundry. Because the laundry, I think the problem is, can anyone relate to this? I'll just be honest. What happens in our household is, woohoo, we'll do the laundry. So we throw the laundry in, and then you do the laundry, not delicately, by the way, and then you throw it into the dryer, and it doesn't get folded correctly, so you have wrinkled clothes. And my mother's theory was, okay, if you're gonna do it, you gotta go all the way in. So you do it, and you pull the clothes out, and you fold them, and you don't have these wrinkled clothes. All right, another this or that. So I'm gonna say banana split or rocky road sundae. Which?
Banana split. But I won't eat one anymore. I've eaten one for the first time since I was a teenager, and that was enough for the next 20 years.
Yeah, too many calories. So for me, it would be Rocky Road, because that's a childhood thing. We used to go to a place, imagine the name of this, the Cowtail Barn, and I would get Rocky Road. I would get the Rocky Road once in a while, and I like the malty sprinkle on the top of it. All right, indoor mall, the traditional old mall, or an outside mall, the way that they seem to be going. And we walked through one, Westfield, here in La Jolla, and it was pretty cool with the fires and the things they have. So outdoor, indoor mall.
Outdoor malls are the only way to go.
Yeah, I think so too, and I think that's why they're building so many of them, and so many of the old traditional malls are going down. All right, thank you, Manshore. It's Manshore, and of course, Kate here in San Diego. Hang with us.
Tehibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tehibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tehibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Lumines. The Lumines anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Giampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
It's time to play the game.
All right, we are in the man cave. I was kind of liking that riff a little bit, so I was just thinking about it. And plus, I got a text from a listener who found me and says that he listens to me in Palm Springs on KGX, and that's the station I was referring to. And it's KGX Real Talk, and they do a good job there. And of course, they take 3 hours of the show, so it's interesting. And I am very familiar with spending a lot of time in Palm Springs at frustrating golf courses that are amazing, and hanging out with some very cool people there. It's actually really affordable, by the way, if you ever want to take a vacation out there. All right, so I digress. Perhaps the man cave could be there in Palm Springs, or the woe man cave, as I like to call it. You know, there's been a lot of consternation, do you like that word, over stealing signs in the great game of baseball. So, sign stealers, beware. And it's interesting because, you know, the Astros certainly got more than their hands slapped because of it, and as they should have. But now that you've got spring training coming up and off-season questions and some trades and deals that are going down, you know, like, for example, the Dodgers and Baez went to arbitration, and Baez was the first to win in arbitration this year. It's always a weird, crazy thing when they do that. It's been a very strange, strange off season, needless to say. So he became the first one to win. He gets $4 million rather than their offer of $3.5 million. He's going to be 32, 7-2. His ERA was just over 3. And 71 relief appearances. So good for them that they went to arbitration and they actually won, because sometimes it's rare. Eight players are still scheduled for hearings, by the way. So back to the sign-stealing thing. Joe Girardi, who is now the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, had a few thoughts as he was asked about signs and stealing and information. Here's what he said.
If a pitcher's tipping, I mean, we're going to use that, and we're going to protect, make sure our guys aren't tipping. But it's specifically having a meeting about what's off limits. No, I don't think that's necessary, because this is not a club that was doing anything. Already started addressing how we protect our stuff and our signs, and talk to catchers and pitchers and plans that we have in spring training to start incorporating some of this stuff, so it's not foreign when we get to the first day of the season.
Yeah, you know, the tipping the pitches, of course they're going to use that information. I mean, that's as old as the hills. Look for what you can look for, but that's legal. If they tip their pitch, meaning you can see in their glove of what they're going to throw, that's, and you figure it out, they're giving signs of that. Well, yeah, you're going to read that. But it's a whole different thing when you're banging on trash cans, I think, and having somebody at the plate is rearranging themselves, at least in their head, to try to get a better hack at whatever ball they know is coming up. For example, a fastball, a curveball, you know, whatever it might be. That's going to be one of the big conversation pieces, I think, still, once the season starts again. There's going to be more conversation about what should happen and what about other teams and all of that. Scapegoating maybe a little bit too, I think. So XFL, football is not out of here. For everybody who is moaning about losing football, the XFL is a game in some towns and is drawing pretty good, I understand, in some of the neighborhoods that they're in. When I say neighborhoods, because it's not across the board, you got eight teams. It's not across the board like the NFL is. There's no 32 teams, and it's a much shorter season, but it gives players like the former Syracuse quarterback, Eric Dungy, to go and show what he can do and, you know, play for the XFL, although he's taken a break because of some family concerns. And there are others of note that are thinking of getting even more involved in the XFL. We'll see what happens. You know, the XFL play clock is shorter. There are a couple of things that are different in this game, certainly, and what the players make is a very big difference. The players' salary, the average, is $55,000, but $55,000 to play a game you love if you're doing something else in a very short and abbreviated season, I don't know, might be worth it for some, and I think it is. And, of course, the amount that the season tickets are really much cheaper, of course, than the NFL. Heavy discounts, let's put it that way. Like in Seattle, they have the XFL Seattle Dragons, and they've got packages and all kinds of things that they are, you know, that they're involved in to try to drum up business. You have the Houston Roughnecks. They've got a team in St. Louis. I want to say it's the Battle Hawks You have the Dallas Renegades. So in some big cities, they launched in some big cities. And, you know, this is controlled by the World Wrestling Federation. And it's, or certainly it was, when the XFL first kicked in, the league is owned by Vince McMahon. And he is a guy that works magic. And I don't know, if we're sitting here eating some chips, I'd have the low-calorie kind. I'd probably have some celery. But we're talking about that this could grow because of the thirst for more football. But this XFL is very different from the first time around, I think. That's what I hear anyway. I'll be curious. I am going to go check out a game. But just 8 teams in this league. How about that? But there is football, like I said. And then there will be the draft, so we're not done with football. Football to me now is 24/7 anyway. There's always something going on. Even after the Super Bowl wraps up, there's always some kind of conversation. And the big off-season convo is Tom Brady. And what would it be like for the Patriots if they don't have Tom Brady? And I said on this show, too, that there are teams that want Tom Brady, and one of them is absolutely Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Raiders. To launch with Tom Brady and his fistful of rings would be huge. I don't think they're going to have trouble selling tickets, but he would be such a drawing card. No question about that. All right, we do have NBA action. And a lot of the story still is over Kobe and his daughter Gigi, and they were buried last week, because a lot of people have asked that question, in California, and in a private ceremony. But they're going to have a public memorial, I guess we'll call it, February 24th at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. And that, of course, coincides with the jersey that he wore, and then the number 2 that Gigi wore. So this public memorial, they expect several thousand people, more. They think they'll just fill the whole place up because of how many people came out to figure out what they could do to mourn the loss of Kobe Bryant. And remember, that helicopter crash happened back on January 26th near Calabasas, California, and there were so many other people on board that helicopter as well, not just the two of them. And there's been conversations about that. You had the Orange Coast College baseball coach John Altobelli, his wife Carrie, and their daughter Alyssa, who was Gigi's teammate, and also Christina Mauser, who helped coach the girls' basketball team. There was Sarah Chester and her daughter Peyton, and another one of Gigi's teammates. So that was just so, so tragic. All right, I hear the music queuing up in the background. The orchestra's getting ready. That means that I got to skedaddle off the stage. Remember, katedelaneyradio.com. You can send me your thoughts anytime, day or night. Hey, make it count, everybody. Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.